We're on Chesam Beis, first pack of getting Chesam Beis. Our goal today is really to discuss some of the halachos of telling a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, which is a large part of the discussion in this second to last tosis on the page here. But before we get there, we'll start with the Gemara. We're up to the Gemara on the third line of the page. Third line of the page, just read through some of the Gemara until we get to where we're trying to get to in Tosfos. The Gemara is speaking about the halachos governing the territory of Surya that was conquered by David HaMelech, not by all of Klal Yisrael together, but by David HaMelech on his own. He conquered Surya and annexed it to Eretz Yisrael. So, Gemara says, V'harotza likanes la betahara nichnas. If somebody wants to enter into Surya in a state of tahara, of purity, he's allowed to do so. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? The Ha'amrat, you said previously, afratame, that the soil of Surya is treated like the soil of Chutz Laretz, which is presumed to be tame because there may be dead bodies buried here, there, and everywhere, and therefore you can't walk into Surya if you're tahar. So the Gemara's answer is, b'shida teva umigdal. That, you're right, the soil of Surya is presumed to be Tamei. When we said that you're allowed to enter into Surya territory if you're Tahar, that's referring to a pre-modern times airplane. You're in a Shita Teva or Migdal. You're being carried in some sort of enclosed case. I guess those, you know, pictures of the kings being carried along. Four poles, and they're sitting up there, bobbing up and down.
Like this happened when they came to
Israel? Oh, is that what he did?
Then they had like a four, David by David. Was it Sadmar Rebbe? Someone, one of the notes of pro-Israel read this thing when he came to Israel. He had like a David by David fence.
Really?
I think so. I might be wrong with it.
I don't know. Could be. Sounds interesting. Okay. Okay, so Shita Teva Migdal is an enclosed box of sorts that is being carried with the individual inside it. So even though the soil of Surya is presumed to be Tamei, but if you're in this enclosed capsule being carried into Surya, that's okay. Why? The Tanya we learned in Ebraisa, Hanichnas la'eretz ha'amin, if somebody enters into ordinary chutz la'eretz, b'shida teva u'migdal, enclosed in this sort of capsule, Rebbe mitame. Rebbe says that the person being carried inside will become tame due to the fact that he is in Chutz La'aretz. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda mitahar. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you're totally enclosed in this capsule of yours, you will remain tahar. Now, Rashi explains that the machlokas here between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is with regard to the status of an ohel, this enclosure that is moving. And Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, even though you're enclosed in this box of sorts, since it's moving, it's not considered a valid separation between you and the ground beneath you. And if the ground beneath you in Chutz La'aretz is presumed to be Tamei, so you, being carried above the ground, will also be presumed to be Tamei, as if you're walking on the ground itself. Because that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds. Rabbi holds that if you're enclosed in this capsule being carried into Chutz La'aretz, you are Tamei, because since it's a moving enclosure, that's not considered a valid halachic chatzitza separation between you and the ground beneath you. It's just as if you're on the ground beneath you, and you're going to be Tamei. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he says that since you're enclosed in this capsule or this moving box, that is a valid chatzitza, valid form of separation between you and the ground beneath you, and you're going to remain tahar. Okay, so they have this machlokas, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, with regard to Chutz La'aretz in general. If I am carried in some sort of enclosure into Chutz La'aretz, and I'm not on the ground, I'm in this enclosed box, is it considered as if I'm in contact with the ground and I'm tamei or not? That's the machlokas.
Is this where they had it's continued upon when they had the whole issue that El Al was flying over?
Oh, interesting question. I didn't think to look into that. You're right. There was a famous question in recent years about airlines taking off and landing in Ben Gurion in Israel that were flying over a cemetery. Right, so there was an exchange between Rafael Cohen and Rav Yashiv about that issue. I think Rav Shechter has an article on that as well in his Sefer, in his Hebrew Sefer. I think Big Fat Sony talks about it. No, I didn't think to check it to see if that how that relates to this issue here. It's a good question. That certainly is a movable ohel of sorts. And is that considered as an ohel or not? Interesting question. I didn't think to check there. That's an interesting thought. I have to see what the post can talk about there, see if they compare it to this issue here or not. I don't know. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vafilu Rebbe Yehuda lo kametame, even Vafilu Rebbe lo kametame elaber tzamen. Even Rebbe, who says that it is a problem for one to be enclosed in this capsule and carried into Chutz La'aretz, only says it's a problem in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Degazru al gusha v'al avira. Because in Chutz La'aretz, Rebbe holds that Chazal instituted a rabbinic decree of tumah on the soil and on the air of Chutz La'aretz. That not only if you touch the ground, will you become tame in Chutz La'aretz? But even if you are carried through the airspace of Chutz La'aretz, you will become tame. So therefore, Rebbe says, well, if you're in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz and you're being carried in this enclosed capsule, well, I hold that the enclosed capsule, since it's a movable ohel zorek lav shmei ohel, if it's a movable ohel, a movable enclosure, it's not considered a bal chatzitza, and it's as if you're in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz and you're tame. However, Aval Surya, but in Surya, al gusha gazru al avira lo gazru. In Surya, they instituted a decree of tuma on the ground, on the soil itself, but on the air space in Surya, they did not institute a gezerah of tuma, and therefore, in Surya, even Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi will agree that if you don't touch the ground, you simply enter the airspace being carried aloft in this royal capsule of yours, you would not be considered tame because you did not come into contact with the soil. You only came into contact with the airspace. And in Surya, they decreed that only the soil is tame, not the airspace itself. Because this is just a brief discussion on the dinim of Tuma and Tahara in Surya as opposed to Chutz La'aretz. The basic upshot of it is simply that whereas in general, Chutz La'aretz, Chazal imposed a decree of Tuma on one who either touches the soil, moves the soil, or even enters into the airspace of Chutz La'aretz. In Surya, the decree is not as severe. And in Surya, whereas you will become tummy if you touch or move the soil, you will not become tummy by simply entering into the airspace of Surya.
Why did they make the decree?
Where?
Did you become
tummy if you... Oh, why did they institute this decree altogether? So I guess one concern is because they don't know where the bodies are buried in the soil. Maybe it's just to discourage people from going to Chutz La'aretz altogether. It's a good question. I have to check the makor for the halacha, what the reason for it is. Offhand, I don't recall. Okay, I have to check to see if there's any discussion in the airplane shiloh with regard to this issue as well. That would make it something more relevant. Okay, I'll have to check that out. Any questions here? Oh, come on. Yeah, here we go. No wonder you're in tune to that which we're not.
There were people in Yeshiva who were like buying body bags, apparently. There was. I forgot even where they got the.
These inflated body bags that, you know.
Literally, no, in like body bags. Not inflatable, like.
For them to sit
like,
in.
Where a mace is in like a body bag.
Yeah.
That's what they were getting, because there was no. I guess there was no openings in it. Bechlal.
Oh,
and they would do it as they were flying over it. I only know of one person. I forgot who asked the Shiloh for. But apparently that was like... I mean, when it first came out, like there were people who said that for like... They got a true for that for a couple months until people were like, the amount of Chil Hashem and flying like that. And it's just...
Wow.
I mean, you do it for like literally about 2 minutes where you thought you were going over it. Because there's no air in a body bag.
Right. Wow, talk about tefillin causing a scare.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do. Okay.
Didn't really last very long.
Putting something into a body bag looks like you're really preparing for something ominous. Okay. Okay, so let's get on to the main discussion for today, which is the some of the halachas related to Amir La'akum. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Now again, we're quoting from a Braisa we have mentioned previously. The Braisa says, V'hakona sada b'Surya, if one purchases a field in Surya, you purchase real estate in this territory of Surya, kikona b'farvare Yerushalayim, it's as if you're purchasing real estate in the suburbs of Yerushalayim. So that's very nice. What does that mean? L'may hilchasa. For what halacha is that relevant? In what manner are you comparing purchasing real estate in Surya to purchasing real estate just outside Yerushalayim? Amar Rav Sheshes says the comparison is for the following purpose. Lomar to teach you, shekosvin alav ono va'afilu b'shabas, that you are permitted to write a bill of sale, a document as proof of sale for this real estate, even on Shabbos. It's pretty, pretty earth-shattering. The Gemara says, "V'Shabbos sokadaitach." Well, you think you could actually write up a document of, you know, proof of purchase on Shabbos when you purchase real estate outside Yerushalayim and in Surya? How could that be? So the Gemara says, "No, kita amar Rava. We meant it as Rava said. In what way?" Omer l'oved kochavim va'osa, to tell a non-Jew to do it for you. So hachanami, here too, Omer l'oved kochavim va'osa. You can tell a non-Jew to write up this proof of purchase for you, and he can do so. So just like when you purchase real estate just outside Yerushalayim, you can tell a non-Jew, write up a proof of purchase for me even on Shabbos. So too, when purchasing real estate in Surya, you can tell a non-Jew, write up a proof of purchase for me even on Shabbos. The Gemara says, well, why is that allowed? Even though in general, telling a non-Jew to perform a malacha for you on Shabbos is a shavus, meaning it is asa midrabanan. Nevertheless, mishum yishuv eretz yisrael lo gazu rabanan. When it comes to the mitzvah of yishuv eretz yisrael, Chazal did not impose this stringency of forbidding you to tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you. So what the Gemara tells us, very simply, is that we treat Surya with regard to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael purposes the same way we treat land just outside Yerushalayim. That in both instances, whether you're purchasing land right outside Yerushalayim, whether you're purchasing land in Surya, since there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that is applicable, you are therefore allowed to tell a non-Jew, even on Shabbos, to write up proof of purchase for you right then and there. Okay, that's the Gemara's halacha. I think there was this recent news in Eretz Yisrael a number of months ago. Did this come up in the news at all? Somebody, a certain Rav, told people something along these lines. No, okay. Just vaguely remembering something, nothing specific. Okay.
So how does this work? The transaction to buy the land happened right before.
Oh, that's a good question. That's unclear from the Gemara, right? That's also part of the question. Some are medayik from Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Afilu b'Shabbos." What is afilu b'Shabbos? Rashi says, "Im lakcham in ovid kochavim." If you bought it from a non-Jew, the rotzel lelech ledarko b'Shabbos, and he wants to head out of town on Shabbos, then you can have a non-Jew write up this proof of purchase even on Shabbos. So, does that Rashi give us any indication as to what happened in terms of the transaction, when it happened?
Seems like it could have happened any time.
Right, it's not clear. It says, if you bought it from a non-Jew, and the Jew wants to leave on Shabbos, so you're losing your last chance to get the Shtar Mechir, you can do it now on Shabbos. So it's not clear. Some have suggested maybe Rashi, when he says, im lakcham in ovid kochavim, if you bought it from a non-Jew, means previously, before Shabbos. That's not so clear in Rashi. It could be Rashi means if you bought it from him, and he's leaving on Shabbos all on the same day. I'm not sure. Some suggest that Rashi means he's leaving on Shabbos, so this is your last chance to get for purchase, but the purchase was already done before Shabbos. it's not so clear in Rashi how Rashi is learning Pshat. If you look, however, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilcha Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilcha Shabbos in Simen Shin Vav, Shulchan Aruch says, Mutter liknos bayis be'eretz Yisrael min ha'eno Yehudi b'Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you're allowed to purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew on Shabbos. So he learns Pshat in the Gemara that no, everything's done on Shabbos. The purchase and the bill of sale being written up. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds, the Mishnah Berurah says that when you're doing the purchase on Shabbos, he quotes Agos Ashri or Zeruah, you should show the guy the money and have him take the money. You should minimize, you know, your actions in terms of the actual transaction. But it seems in the Shulchan Aruch that the heter is to actually buy the land on Shabbos itself.
So the actual act of purchasing is a Shabbos also?
Yes, Mekach HaMemkar, right. Now, the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, though, is what are you doing? You're telling a non-Jew to write a Shtar Mechir for you on Shabbos. So you're telling a non-Jew to do Issa D'Oraisa for you on Shabbos. Right? Now, generally speaking, telling a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Oraisa is strictly forbidden. But, Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Chazal said, will be matir the Isra Amir La'akum to do this Melacha D'Oraisa. Okay, that's the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, presumably. The Ramah here in Hilchos Shabbos quotes an Or Zeruah, says the following: that's Sim Halacha and Sim Shin Vav. Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew on Shabbos, and you're allowed to have it signed in non-Jewish courts on Shabbos. So Ramah adds Biksav Shelohem in their handwriting. Meaning, write the document in English, not in Hebrew. Why? De'enu asar rak midrabanan. Because to write it in their language is only an issa d'rabanan, and that chazal weren't gozer on when it comes to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
But the ksav itself is not really considered ksav.
So what the Ramah is saying, apparently, is that when you're writing in a language other than Hebrew, that Isser Ksiva is only an Isser Drabanan. And that's why there's a heter here of Amir La'akum. Why does the Gemara say, La'at tell a guy to write the Shtar for you on Shabbos? Because you're writing it only in their language. So if you're writing it only in their language, then what are you essentially doing? You're telling a non-Jew to violate an Isser Drabanan by writing in his language. So then, if it's telling a non-Jew to violate an Issa Drabanan, will be matter that for the sake of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And that's how the Ramah, quoting the Orzur, learns Pshat in our Gemara. Then we're not talking about a heter to tell a guy to do any malacha you want for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. No, we're talking specifically about ksiva and what kind of ksiva. Ksiva that is only Asim Drabanan. Why is it only Asim Drabanan? Because it's not in Hebrew, it's in English. So ksiv in English is only asur drabanan. So you can tell a guy to do a malacha drabanan for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now this Ramah, or Zeruah that he's quoting, and the pshat he's learning in our Gemara, is on the one hand a chumrah. Why? It's a chumrah because it limits the heter that our Gemara is giving us. Right? Our Gemara gave us a heter. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you can tell a guy to do an isra on Shabbos. According to our Zeruah, what kind of Isser do we allow? We're only allowing a guy to do an Isser Drabanan for you for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that's a Chumrah, whereas we're limiting the Heter of our Gemara.
The Gemara seemed to limit it to Shavuos also, right?
Well, the Gemara, when it says Shavuos, meant the actual act of telling a guy to do an Isser for you is a Shavuos.
Oh, okay.
Right? So what the Ramah is doing, he's adding in an additional Shavuos. He's saying Shvus to Shvus, the Makom Yishuv Eretz Yisrael's Mutter. Now you can tell a guy, one Issa Drabanan, to do a second Issa Drabanan for you, only when there's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael involved. That's a very restrictive interpretation of our Gemara. Pashas, our Gemara would say, if you read the Gemara like we did, Pashas, you would say, Pshat is, no, you can tell a guy to do any Isser Malacha for you on Shabbos for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Ramah is restrictive in that regard, that he's only allowing you to tell a guy to do an Issa Drabanan for you, when it comes to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
That's a huge kula.
Right. On the other hand, it's a huge kula because all of a sudden now, the Rama is telling us, oh, comes to the Isser D'oraisa, the Malach of writing on Shabbos, there's only an Isser D'oraisa if you write in Lashon HaKodesh, in Ashuris. But if you're a doctor writing out prescriptions, you know, it's just an Isser Drabanan. Or if you're a kid doodling at home, it's just an Isser Drabanan. Unbelievable. Where'd that come from? The Isser of Ksiv on Shabbos, if it's not in Hebrew, is only an Isser Drabanan. So the Mishnah Brewer in his Bir Halacha is very, very, you know, not happy about anyone coming away with that impression. So he has a long Bir Halacha here where he says the vast majority of Rishonim disagree with this Or Zeruah. They're of the opinion that Ksiva writing is in a Sejor Reis on Shabbos, whether it's in English, whether it's in Hebrew, whether it's in Arabic, whatever language it's in, doesn't matter. Ksiva is an Sejor Reis. He says very emphatically that the heter of the Or Zeruah, that writing in English is only an Isser Drabanan, is a Das Yachid. Then the Rama only quoted it here, not because he's paskining like it with regard to Hilchos Ksiva, but only because Rama is trying to limit the heter of the Amir La'akum L'Tzarach Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that we're discussing here. So, Mishnah Berurah is saying, don't get too excited about this newfound heter for writing on Shabbos. The Rama is just trying to limit the instances where we allow you to tell a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, L'Tzarach Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, to involve only Yisurei D'Rabbanan. Okay, so far, any questions? Comments on that? Okay, so let's try to tackle this Tosis here. Afagav Damir Lo'ovik Kachav Mishpos. Yeah.
The point of the story is the same thing.
Right, the Gemara is saying the same heter of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael we have Lagabe Eretz Yisrael for telling a guy to do an Isser Ksiva for you, whether you view Ksiva as Daraisa Darbanan here, let's say Pasha sits Daraisa, that same heter would apply to Suri as well. Correct. Correct. Okay. So let's look at Tosis. Afagav da Amir Lo'ovik Kachav Mishvus Misham Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Goz Rabbanan. So Tosis is now going to try to give us some parameters for this heter to tell a guy to do malacha on Shabbos when the goal is the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now, one thing is for sure. It's clear from the Gemara that this mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not to be taken lightly. Right? The Gemara is dispensing with Isurah Darabanan on Shabbos, or at least Amir La'akum Darabanan on Isurah on Shabbos, you know, to encourage and to allow Jews to purchase non-Jewish homes in Eretz Yisrael. So that itself says something off the top. But the question is, can this heter be expanded to include other mitzvahs as well? Right? Is there a heter to tell a guy to do an Isser for me on Shabbos when the stated purpose is not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but another mitzvah? Right? And how far do you take that? That's the question. Yeah?
Is it only if you're buying the property from a non-Jew?
You're saying, let's say...
You just added that phrase in what you just
said. Right. Right. So the Rashi says, "Im lo kamin over kochavim."
Right.
Right. The Shulchan Aruch also says to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew. I mean, I guess your question would be, well, let's say I'm buying it from a Jew, but it's allowing me to settle in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Right. So it could be that this emphasis is, you know, the heter is for enabling.
And Rashi says, "Lagari shav de kochavim."
Ah, right, thank you. Spells it out explicitly, right? But the garish of the kochavim would liash of Yisrael blah, right? To, I guess, replace population.
You're looking at the bottom line.
Right. Population, what's it called?
Transfer.
Population transfer, right. That's what we're looking for. It's not politically correct. And revisionist historians are trying to erase it from the history books from 1948. But that's what the mitzvah is, that Bnei Yisrael should be the ones who are living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Tosfos says the following. The Gemara here gives us a heter to tell a guy to do malacha for us on Shabbos for the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos adds, Aval mishum mitzvah acheres lo hayinu matirin amir lo'ovid kachavim. We would not allow one to tell a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos for any other mitzvah Bimlocha de oraisa. If the melacha we want the non-Jew to do is a melacha de oraisa. Okay, this is right. Often there's a lot of confusion about, you know, the Shabbos guy. You know, what can the Shabbos guy do for us? What can he not do for us? What can she do for us? What can she not do for us? So it's clear you can just, you're not just allowed to go and tell the guy, oh, turn on the light, turn the stove, X, Y, and Z. Certain parameters. So Tosis is saying that in his opinion, the Gemara is heter is only with regard to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but to tell a non-Jew to do an issa de oraisa for any other mitzvah, says Tosis, no heter. Had very restrictive approach.
The mashma that's telling a non-Jew to do an issa de oraisa for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is okay.
Yes, correct.
Which is
against Or Zeruah, correct? Right. I mean, I think that's pashas in the Gemara, right? Right. That's correct. Right. Tosis is saying that our Gemara is being matir a malacha d'oraisa through a non-Jew only for the sake of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not for any other mitzvah. So, you know, telling a non-Jew to turn on the lights, turn off the lights, not so simple. There's a malacha d'oraisa involved. You know, unless I need the lights to cross the border into Eretz Yisrael, otherwise not really going to happen. So the Gemara, Satosa says, how do I know this? Kedemuchach perek hador, as we see from the Gemara in Erevin. What was the case in the Gemara in Erevin? Hahu yenuka de'ishtapich chamime. There was a little baby whose prepared hot water was spilled out. Now this is speaking about times of the Gemara, they needed hot water in order to safely perform a bris for a baby. The hot water was to be used to bathe the baby after the bris, and that was viewed to be critical for the baby's health, to enable the bris to proceed successfully. So there's a bris on Shabbos, and the baby's hot water spilled out. So also the Kamei de Rava, they came to Rava, what do we do now? We got to do the we need this hot water for the bris. We don't have it anymore. What do we do? So Amar Lahu, so Rava said to them, L'shailu le'ime, ask the baby's mother, Itzricha, if she needs hot water for her own needs. And if so, then nechaimu le, heat up the water for the baby, agav ime, along with the water you're heating up for the mother. That's the Gemara. Okay, so once again, the case in the Gemara is as follows. Baby, the eighth day, needs hot water for health reasons to go along with the bris. Problem is, hot water is spilled out, what do you do? So Rava says, here's the solution. If the mother, who just gave birth 7+ days ago, needs hot water, you're allowed to heat up extra hot water for the baby along with the hot water you're heating up for the mother. That's the Gemara. Okay? That's Rava's solution. So now Tosa says, okay, so what can we see from this Gemara? What's this Gemara talking about? There's a lot happening here. There's a hot water that's needed for the baby's bris. You can't heat it up for the baby itself, but you can heat it up along with the hot water for the mother, who's obviously still a chola after her childbirth. So what's going on here? So Tosis takes it apart as follows. First white line, Tosis says, V'luchora mashma, it would seem, d'biyom hamilohaya, that this was happening on the day of the bris, shohayu tzrichim l'chamemo, they needed to heat up the water, k'day l'amulo, in order to perform the bris. And now Tosis makes an assumption. V'kodem hamilohaya. This must have occurred before the actual bris. How does he know that? D'ila achar hamila, because if the water spilled out after the bris had been performed already, misukanu, the baby is already then in a state of sakana. Once the bris is done, the baby is in a state of sakana, and then ubaloi me mechal in olav Shabbos. If the bris had already been performed, Rava wouldn't have to start looking for, you know, the mother's need for hot water. If the bris had already been performed, the baby's in danger, Rava would just say, baby's in danger, so kind of just heat the water right away. Forget the mother. The fact, says Tosis, that Rava was only willing to allow them to heat the water along with water they were heating for the mother indicates that the baby had not yet received its bris milah. It was not yet b'makom sakana. The purpose of the hot water then was not to pikuach nefesh for the baby. It was simply to enable the fulfillment of the mitzvah of milah to be done in a few short moments. And that was the basis for his heter. That's assumption number one. Says Tosis further, the al yedei oved kochavim ayri hasam. Assumption number two. Also not explicit in the Gemara, but Tosis is going to show how he knows this. The heter there to reheat hot water for the baby along with hot water for the mother was to be done by a non-Jew. By a non-Jew. How does Tosfos know that? Ki the pirish sham bekuntros, as Rashi himself says there in Erevin. V'chein pirish rach, and so says Rabbeinu Chananel. Ki the amrinon beperak mefanen, because the Gemara says in Shabbos as follows. Dechaya mishiva ad shloshim, a new mother after 7 days from childbirth, until 30 days from childbirth, afilu amra tzricha ani, ein mechalin aleha es haShabbos. A new mother, between 7 and 30 days after childbirth, even if she says, I need something for my health, a Jew is not allowed to desecrate Shabbos for her because she's no longer considered to be a sakanas nefashos situation if it's more than 7 days after childbirth. So what do we see from that Gemara? Tosfos is quoting Gemara on Shabbos, which says that more than 7 days after childbirth, a Jew is no longer allowed to be mechal Shabbos for the new mother because she's no longer considered sakanas nefashos. So Tosfos is saying, aha, that's the case. And the Gemara and Erevin, what were they doing? Rava was saying, heat up water for who? On Shabbos, for the new mother. And once you're doing it for the mother, do it for the baby along with the mother in the same pot of water. So Tosfos is saying, 1 second. The bris is happening on what day? Day 8. The Gemara says in Shabbos that you're only allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a woman up until when after childbirth? Day 7. Clearly the bris is happening past that point of chil Shabbos for the new mother. So how then can Rava say, heat up water for the baby along with water for the mother? Must be, says Tosfos, that he was having a non-Jew heat up the water for the mother because a Jew couldn't do it anymore. Okay, so Tosfos now has proved 2 points, or has made 2 assumptions. He said, we're talking about day 8, so it must be that a non-Jew is the one who is heating up the water for the mother. And it must be that the bris has not yet occurred. Because if the bris already happened, there'd be no need to wait for the mother's hot water. It would be sakanas nefashos, and you could do it for the baby himself. Must be that it's before the bris, and that's why we're having a non-Jew heat up the water for the mother, because a Jew can't do it anymore. And once the non-Jew is doing it for the mother, we're having the non-Jew heat up some water for the baby along with that water for the mother as well.
I'm a little confused. Why is it better for the non-Jew to heat up the water for the mother who halachically doesn't need the water anymore? Why is that better than just...
Well, so you're allowed to have a non-Jew do it for the mother. But you're saying, go ahead.
Why not just have him do directly for the baby?
Excellent kasha. Very good question. What's the benefit, according to Tosfos, who just told us, that the case in the Gemara in Erevin is a non-Jew is doing it because a Jew couldn't do it anymore? So if it's a non-Jew, why did Rava say, tell the non-Jew to heat up the water for the baby along with the water he's heating for the mother? Just do it for the baby directly. Excellent question. Right? If you told me that there was a Jew who was heating up the water and he somehow had a heter to heat it up for the mother, but for the baby there's no sakanas nefashos yet, so then I'd understand, okay, along with the mother, heat it up for the baby as well. But once you're saying there's no heter to be mechal Shabbos for the mother because it's post 7 days after childbirth, and that's what's a non-Jew doing it here in the Gemara, so then once a non-Jew is involved, so why are you trying to tack the baby's water onto the mother's water? Just do it for the baby alone. Excellent question.
That's the proof that they're not, that the mitzvah is, the only mitzvah we care about for Amil Akum is the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not bris. The reason is the uncomfortable mother, even if it's not a chol or whatever, that we're
very good, very good, very good. So, find it right here, okay, 1 second. So let's read through the Tosfos to see how he spells it out. Tosfos says further, the next couple lines are not exactly critical for this particular din. Okay, so yeah, let's stop right there. You're right. That is precise what Tosfos is trying to say. Is that because we see there was a need to have, because we have a non-Jew involved, and we're still not willing to allow the non-Jew to heat it up for the baby directly, that proves that there's no heter to tell a non-Jew to do a melacha d'oraisa of cooking water for the sake of the mitzvah of milah. That's why Rabbi had to come on to say, have the non-Jew do the melacha d'oraisa for the chola, for the mother, right? Because the din is that you're allowed to have a non-Jew do melacha for a chola if it's necessary for the chola's well-being. And that's another psak halacha and shulchan aruch as well, that when you have a chola, even a chola she'ein basakana, you'll have to tell a non-Jew to do whatever the chola needs for her health. So the Chartos is proven. We see from this Gemara in Erevin that there's no heter to have a non-Jew do a melacha de oraisa for a mitzvah other than for Yeshiva Yisrael purposes. But for a mitzvah of Mila, we see from Gemara Erevin, there's no heter to do a melacha even Adei Akam. Right? That's Tosis is right.
What's the status of the woman that she's also, I mean, we're clearly doing melacha for the Adei Amir Akam, we're doing sometime melacha for the woman.
Right, so she's the chola. She ain't Basakana
so,
now.
So, okay.
Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches that a chola shenofal machmas cholio lemishkov, you know, a chola in bed, ein bo sakana. Omrim le'ena yehudi la'asos la'refua. You can tell a non-Jew to do refua for this chola. The Shabura says, even if it involves a malacha de araisa, you can tell a non-Jew to do this malacha of refuah for this chola. Okay, so that's Tosis is right from Erevin.
So after 7 days, the woman's downgraded level chola, that
right.
Non-Jew can't do it, but non-Jew still can.
Correct, because she's no longer chola she'yesh basakana, she's now chola she'ein basakana.
Right.
So once there's no longer danger of life, but she's still very ill, obviously, so a non-Jew can do it, but Jew can't. Correct. Okay. Yes, let's just skip a couple of lines to Vidochek. Just skip two lines and Tosis to Vidochek Lomar. Tosis says, Vidochek Lomar. And it's pushing it to say, Dime'eis le'eis bo'inon. That maybe we need 7 24-hour periods from the time of childbirth, before you can no longer have a Jew do malacha for the mother anymore. Meaning, we said before that a new mother, after 7 days until 30 days from childbirth, a Jew can't be Mechal Shabbos anymore. Right? So, maybe the pshat is as follows. Says the dochek lomer de me'es le'es ba'inan, the ha uvda have a toch shiva shal me'es le'es. Or maybe the case in the Gemara Evan is as follows, that the heter for a Jew to be mechal Shabbos for a new mother is for 7 24-hour periods, and maybe the case in Evan was a case where the bris happened to have been on the 8th day, technically, but it was still within 7 24-hour periods. Meaning, how's that possible?
After birth.
Exactly, right?
7 days in between, unless you have extra few hours.
If you had an afternoon birth, right? Let's say the baby was born on Shabbos afternoon. So day 8, for the bris milah purposes, would be Shabbos morning. Why? Because as long as the baby is born before sunset on Shabbos afternoon, you count that Shabbos as day 1. And then the next Shabbos is going to be day 8. Bris will be Shabbos morning. But that's as far as bris is concerned. As far as Chilul Shabbos is concerned, for Sakonis and Farsha's purposes, we count 7 24-hour periods. So if you're only starting your 7 24-hour period count from 4 o'clock Shabbos afternoon, so that's going to end at 4 o'clock the next Shabbos afternoon. which would mean that 10 a.m. that Shabbos morning, it's already day 8 as far as Bris Milah is concerned, but it's still within the 7th 24-hour period to allow a Jew to be Michal Shabbos for that mother. Now, how would that help us? What would happen if that were the case in the Gemara Ervin? If that were the case in the Gemara Ervin, what would that do for us? How would that help us? See what he says? He says, because if that's what the case then, he doesn't spell out, but what would happen if that was halacha? The scenario. That was the scenario. What? Because if that were the case, then it would be possible to say that the Chil Shabbos has been done by a Jew, not by a non-Jew. And if it's been done by a Jew, not by a non-Jew, then I no longer have proof that I can't tell a guy to do malacha d'oraisa for a mitzvah other than Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, right? As Tosfos is trying to prove, his whole point is, I'm trying to prove, says Tosfos, that the heter of telling God to do malacha d'oraisa is only for mitzvah Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, not for any other mitzvah. What's my raya? My raya is from Ervin, because by Ervin we see that there was a tzorach for mitzvahs milah, and I have to tell a non-Jew to heat up water for the baby for the purpose of milah, but I was only allowed by telling the non-Jew to do it along with the mother's water. That proves that you can't tell the non-Jew directly to heat up the water for the baby itself, even though it involves the tzorach mitzvah of milah. So, Tosis is simply saying that if I were to learn pshat in the Gemara Ervin, that this is talking about not a non-Jew, but a Jew, and it was within the 7 24-hour periods when I still had a hetzet to be mechal Shabbos for the mother, then I would no longer have a relevant proof for the dinam of Amir al-Akum. And Tosfos saying that's a dochik pshat to learn that way. It doesn't spell out why it's so dochik. I guess because if you learn pshat in the Gemara this way, you're limiting the case to a scenario where the baby was born late afternoon, and it was that's already limiting the case of the Gemara Ervin, perhaps. And Tosfos, I guess, is not willing to do that. Okay. Let's go on to Tosfos now. Tosfos then says, V'hadu arma hasam le'el b'iduch yinuka. The Gemara in Ervin says earlier, with the other baby story there, d'shtat b'chamimi, his water was also spilled out. I guess this was a common problem for babies having the brisen, that their water that was hot would be spilled out. So what happened there? V'omar lehu Rabba in that case said as follows. I have a different solution. Naisu lechamimi migobese, bring some more hot water from the house, from the urn in the house. V'muki lo aide oved kochavim. And the Gemara says it was to have a non-Jew bring the water from the house. So what's the concern? What's Tosis bothered by? We see that you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to bring hot water from the house. Let's start from Mitzvah Mila. So Tosis says, Vada Isura Drabbanon Shari. That only tells me that I'm allowed to tell a guy to do an Issa Drabbanon for the sake of the Mitzvah of Mila. Why is it an Issa Drabbanon? B'chatzer Shalo Irvo. It was talking about a courtyard that had not been enclosed properly with a proper Eruv. Mishum mitzvah milah. So then, for the mitzvah of milah, I can tell a guy to do an issur drabbanon of carrying in a chutzer, which is only asur drabbanon as opposed to carrying in a chutzer rabim, which is asur doraisa. Aval issur doraisa, but to tell a guy to do an issur doraisa, if you're going lechamim lochamim, to actually heat the water on Shabbos, also that is forbidden. Okay, so Tosfos, the basis of these two gemaras in Ervin, says the following conclusion. Tosfos says, for the purpose of any mitzvah other than Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, such as Mila, for example, I may not tell a guy to do an Issa d'oraisa of heating water, but I am allowed to tell a guy to do an Issa d'rabbanan for carrying something in a chatzer shalo irvo. Okay, so according to Tosfos, my hierarchy from Yalla Akam is as follows. When it comes to Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, I can tell a guy to do an Issa d'oraisa. When it comes to any other mitzvah, I cannot tell a guy to do an Issa d'oraisa, but I could tell a guy to do an Issa d'rabbanan. Very relevant. According to Tosfos, shailas of Seuda Shabbos, mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and the light in my house is off and I can't see. Can I call a guy to turn the light on in my house? because my timer went awry and now it's pitch black in my living room dining room. So okay, I call a guy in to do my, turn my lights on for me. Turning lights on, if it's an incandescent bulb, certainly involves Nisa Daraisa. The old fluorescent bulbs, many of them also involve Nisa Daraisa. CFLs, I don't know.
What's
CFL? Twirlies, right. I don't know. But, you know, so if Baal Nisa Daraisa, according to Tosis, there's no heter to tell a guy to turn it on for you. The heter to tell a guy to do Nisa Daraisa would only be if it's for mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's go on. Nentos says the ain lomor mikan heter lomed lomar laovid kachavin lahavi sefer b'shabes derech karmelis. Well, maybe I can at least, you know, come out with the following heter. At least give me this much, that I can tell a guy to do an issur drabanan of carrying a sefer for me on Shabbos in a karmelis. A karmelis is an area that's not a rishus rabban. It's asur drabanan to carry in a karmelis. Right. So, for example, Kew Garden Hills is a karmelis. It's deemed to be a karmelis, not a shesharam deraisa. So carrying in a karmelis when the Erev is down would only be an isajabon. So maybe I should be allowed to tell a guy to carry my siddur teshul for me, or my talis bag home, or my siddur teshul for me, sarach mitzvah, right? Mechumish, to learn, kriyas Torah, to daven, sarach mitzvah, isajabon to carry in a karmelis. Maybe that should be mutter. After all, we saw that the guy can bring the hot water for the mitzvah of milah. So maybe the guy can carry my chumash and siddur to shul for the mitzvah of tefillah and kriyas Torah. So Tosfos says no. Even that you can't take. Why? Delo dami. That's not a valid comparison. The dafka mishum milah dehi gufa doch yeshabes hitiru. Maybe only for the mitzvah of milah, which itself is Docha Shabbos, for that mitzvah we're matar and Issa Drabanan. So Tosfos is being very restrictive here. He's saying, when it comes to telling a guy to do an Issa Dor Raisa, that's only mutter when it comes to the mitzvah Yishiva Yitzchah. That's a real big mitzvah. When it comes to telling a guy to do an Issa Drabanan, that's only going to be mutter from mitzvah like Mila, which itself is so chashiv that it itself is Docha Shabbos. Very, very restrictive here in terms of Tosfos. Tosfos' Shita is that even Shvus to Shvus, even telling a guy to do an Issa Drabanan is only going to be mutter for a mitzvah such as Mila, which itself is Docha Shabbos. Now, I'll just tell you off the top that we paskin that Shvus to Shvus, when it comes to telling a guy, which is one Issa Drabanan, to do another Issa Drabanan, Litzorach Mitzvah, is mutter. So, for example, back, was it last year when the Erev was down in Kew Garden Hills on a Shabbos?
Yeah.
Right? So, people were asking, oh my gosh, what I do? So if you had a non-Jew available, people, who has a question, people who have babies in shul were asking, oh my gosh, what do I do? So if you had, you know, a non-Jew available, you certainly could have told him to, you know, will your baby home for you? That's probably, you know, definitely one is to job on a tongue of guy to do a malacha for you. And the malacha that was being done was only Nisra Jabbanon, because Kriyan Hills is a karmelis, it's carrying in a karmelis. So Shvus to Shvus, telling a guy to do an Issa Drabanan for you, certainly mutter the Tzorach Mitzvah, and, you know, definitely not lots of mitzvahs involved in having your baby home for Shabbos. Onik Shabbos, baby safety, right? Numerous heterim there. So that's how we pass mitzvahs, apparently, is machmer, that Shvus to Shvus, telling a guy to do an Issa Drabanan is only mutter the Tzorach Mitzvah Mila, and telling a guy to do an Issa Drabanan is only mutter the Tzorach Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so I think we'll have to finish off this Tosfos and just get to the bottom line in terms of the other shittas of Rishonim with the Gra'at Hamila Akum, Mr. Shem, next week. Also, get a chance, there is a important Ran to look at that's very, very relevant to the last part of Tosfos. It's the Ran in the second parak of Beitza. It's on the Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in the second parak of Beitza. And the Ran, it's on page Tes Amud Beis in the Daf Harif on Beitza. It's the Ran, Dibur HaMaschil Umiha. Okay, so we'll try to finish off Tosfos next week. We'll discuss the other Shittas Rishonim with regard to the Dinim of Amir La'akum and what guidelines there are for when it's Mutter, when it's Aser. We'll discuss, hopefully, that Ran as well. terms of the Mir La'akam guidelines, there's a famous sheet of the Baal Ha'itzer quoted Lahalacha in the Ramah in Arachayim Hilcha Shabbos Simin Reish Ayin Vav. Simin Reish Ayin Vav, the Ramah and Sif Beis. Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Beis. That's a very important sheet to look at as well. And as well as a Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Zayin Sifei. Simen Shin Zayin Sifei is the other important halach with regard to guidelines for Amir L'Akam and under what grounds it's permissible on Shabbos, at least as regards as relates to this Tosis. Okay. So, everyone, thank you all for coming. And Avram, right? Special welcome.